This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Let's go to, we've got AT with us here. Hey, good morning, AT. How are you?
Yeah, the reason he's wishy-washy about it, you think it's going to be toxic when Cal goes back to Rupp Arena, where you should see what FedEx Forum would be like if a Memphis-Arkansas game ever gets going. Like, Memphis fans, I think, dislike Cal even more than Arkansas fans do, so that's one I would not be holding my breath on, but it is going to be interesting to see how the schedule comes together. I saw they pulled out of the San Diego event yesterday. I'm not surprised by that. Cal is not a big MTE guy. Those are those multi-team events that get played around Thanksgiving. So I'm curious to see how this schedule comes together. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, so he talked on Tuesday in Little Rock about, you know, one of the things he's got to do is put a schedule together. And he wanted to have a roster first and the schedule second. The roster's coming together. There's still a couple of spots that I think they're looking for. We haven't heard still anything from DJ Wagner, Aaron, and that feels like a surprise because, I mean, it had been, I think it was three Mondays in a row that the previous weekend there was a visit, and then you get a commit, whether it was from Carter or whether it was from Adu, or I think Boogie Fland was the other one. So we were all kind of like, all right, Monday's DJ Wagner announcement day. It didn't happen. I wonder what's up.
Yeah, I'm a little torn on this. You know, one, and I said this on my show, is DJ's kind of always been a kid, you know, and kind of counter to the world that we live in now, where even when he committed to Kentucky out of high school, it was kind of, everybody knew for months that it was going to happen, but he was never the Joe Tipton top 10, then top 5, then top 3, then the announcement date, gets pushed back. He was just, you know, I actually think it was the day before the season, the day before college basketball season just kind of got announced, and that was right around the early signing period. So he's never really been about that. But then, I will say why I'm torn on it is because even probably Wednesday, Thursday of this week, I kind of thought to myself, it's going to happen, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But then obviously the report comes out, you know, I think Truly Donovan, the burner account, who does actually really good stuff. So burner makes it sound like a negative connotation, but he put out that Cal's kind of at least poking around that the French point guard, Nolan Traore, who admittedly I don't know a ton about, but I'm just sitting there saying that, I don't know that Cal would be that aggressive or even have any interest if he thought DJ was 100% coming, especially given his comments about we may only have, you know, we may stop at 8, 7, whatever it is, scholarship players. So so I'm really torn on the DJ stuff. I still think he's a hog. I actually don't think the timing to me is as big of a deal as the fact that it just appears as though Cal is at least poking around on whatever potential high-level point guard players may be available.
Hey, Aaron, with this NBA combine wrapping up, will there be how many of these players will go back to school, or are they going to the G League? What are, you know, any of these guys that are at the combine that aren't necessarily hearing the grade, the draft grade, or figuring out where they want to go, how many of them will come back to school?
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, if you made it to the combine, it means that you're a draftable player. And now it just comes down to where will you be drafted and is that good enough for you? I mean, you know, I think every guy is a little bit different. I'll just give you an example. Alex Caraban, who was a starter for the UConn, you know, back-to-back national championship teams, he is basically a semester away from graduating. He's, you know, my understanding is a very serious student. And he's basically said publicly, unless I get a first-round guarantee, I'm coming back. Well, then you have the opposite of a guy that Arkansas fans are familiar with, Jackson Robinson, who has already graduated from BYU. He's already been to, obviously, Arkansas fans know, three schools in the last 4 years. You know, the school that he was at doesn't, you know, has a new head coach, and obviously his former head coach, who he entrusts, is at another school as well. And so, you know, I think Jackson Robinson, you know, feels much more likely to be a guy that even if he's a late second rounder, undrafted, he may just be ready to get his career started. So I think everybody's a little bit of a different deal. Now, the curveball to all this, which is not a surprise, but it is the NIL stuff, is that it goes without saying, is that if you're going to be a second-round pick, you know, if you're going to be a second-round pick, to be clear, you could probably make as good, if not better, money playing college basketball next year, which obviously is a crazy concept that's new within the last 2 or 3 years. So everyone's a little bit different, Matt. I mean, there's definitely about 7 or 8 guys that I think everyone in college basketball has their eyes on. But it's hard to say. Every kid's just got a different decision to make, no different than a high school commitment, a portal commitment, whatever.
So we have no idea what the non-conference schedule looks like for Arkansas. We do know who the SEC opponents are. We just don't know the dates. This is just so evident, Aaron, that they had no idea. This schedule, the teams that play each other home and home, it has nothing to do with matchups or level of play from the last season or the season before. It is strictly about regionality, and they've got football rivalries in the basketball schedule, essentially. Otherwise, it makes no sense for Arkansas and Kentucky to play just once. It's a huge missed opportunity, and I'm kind of hoping they go back and change it, which, of course, they won't do.
Yeah, you know, I almost wonder if the decision, so for people who don't know, with the new 16-team SEC, they're sticking with 18-game league schedule. It'll be the only power conference, by the way, that only plays 18 league games, which is kind of an interesting conversation in and of itself. But, you know, basically the way the league has explained it is there will be two, you know, what they call, you know, two basically home and homes, and then the third game is what they call a mirror opponent, which is basically at the league's discretion, and it can change year to year. And so I'll say this, Bill, I almost wonder if those decisions were made before Cal left Kentucky.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, yeah, okay, so I'm not crazy for saying that. You know, I mean, Alabama, of course, made a Final Four. You can look at their roster and you know, project pretty easily that most of that team would be back. Kentucky's the biggest brand in the sport. So Kentucky gets the third game against Alabama. With that said, even if that decision was made in mid-March, late March, whatever, it's mid-May. You had 2 months for somebody in the room to raise their hand and just say, guys, you know, this is the biggest story in college basketball next year, and with due respect to Carolina, Duke, and whatever, this is the one game, and two, obviously, in the perfect world, had there been them, that people would be most interested in. And so, yeah, it's just a huge whiff by the league. You know, the league, you know, it gets a lot of criticism for a lot of stuff. I think the big stuff they generally get right, and I understand some of those schools that have historically played every year, Kentucky and the Tennessee, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, make sure that those get played twice a year. But if you're going to have the third rotating opponent that can be anybody based on interest, there is zero doubt in anybody's mind. It's not just me. It's not just you guys. It's not just because we're on in Fayetteville. I think that game will have interest in Knoxville. I think that game will have interest in every city in America that cares about college basketball.
But, of course, they sent Arkansas to Kentucky. It had to happen that way. And I'm not saying that in any complaint at all. It had to happen that way. You absolutely had to have Cal going back to Rupp. Now, keep in mind, as we're talking about this, they didn't schedule it that way when they made the schedule. That was going to be Musk versus Cal, I think is the way it was done. So that'll be great theater, too.
Yeah. So we have no idea on any of the schedule besides the SEC.
Wow. Nothing. The only thing that had been scheduled was the Rady Children's Invitational. But Cal's talking about, you know, now that he's got the team semi put together, now I think they start looking ahead in scheduling. And he talks about, it looks like they're going to try to schedule some of the same kind of events that they had at Kentucky. You know, maybe playing at Madison Square, maybe some kind of a series with Kansas. I don't know, but it'll be different scheduling than we had under any other previous coach. And when you talk about a national brand, I mean, those are the games that you kind of have to schedule. I mean, we see this each year with Duke and Carolina, with Kentucky. And because Cal is the national brand, it's, you know, he's the one who does the scheduling here.
Well, and, you know, it's funny going back to the night he was hired and the time after, all I heard from Lexington was, oh, you know, Kentucky's the brand, not Cal. It's like, well, recruiting seems to indicate pretty much that Cal's got a pretty huge brand in and of himself. And so, yeah, I'll be curious. I'll be curious to see what games are put together. And to your guys' point, like, he is the brand. And I do think that's what makes this conversation so interesting is what kind of games can he get? Like you said, Phil, can he get a game at MSG? Can he get a game at, wherever? By the way, as somebody who made the drive from Fayetteville to Lawrence this year, it's an easy drive, about a 4-hour drive. I'm sure they would probably take a plane because that's the world that we live in, but that's a very easy geographical thing to do. So I'm curious to see how it all comes together. I am.
Absolutely, man. It's I hope they do something like that. I mean, like, I like the series that they played with Oklahoma, but that was still a regional series. You know, that's, you know, I'm sure you got some eyes from hardcore basketball fans that wanted a game to watch. But, you know, I mean, it's the casual fan that tunes in to watch, a game against Kansas. That's just those are the games I think you want to play. Now, you don't want to schedule too many of them. Because, as Cal also said, the league was a grinder last year, and it may end up being tough for next season. So it's just a delicate balance to try to put on. And then you got to keep your season ticket holders happy, and you got to schedule home games.
It's unbelievable. Real quick, do we have any updates on any of these international guys? I mean, I'm sure you guys saw the story. Anything concrete, or is it all just rumor and innuendo?
No, I don't know anything concrete about it right now. AT, my head is so firmly ensconced in
baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how did Kentucky get? I know we got to go. Give me the 30-second. How did Kentucky go from whatever to? That's the one thing I don't understand about SEC baseball. LSU wins a championship. Now they're terrible. Kentucky's usually terrible. Now they're awesome. I don't get all this. I'll be honest.
Well, they were good last year. They hosted a regional. They lost in the Baton Rouge Super Regional. So they had a little momentum going into this year. But it's like A&M. A&M was good last year, not great. They're great this year because they just dominated. They did great in the portal. Kentucky did great in the portal, but I think at a different level where they got more like lower tier. Well, you view them as lower tier players, just not bigger name players. And these guys have just kind of exploded and turned the team into something that I don't think anybody saw. I don't think even Kentucky saw them being as good as they are. So that's the thing about the portal with baseball and the SEC, Aaron, is we can talk about the SEC being the best in football and potentially being one of the top 2-3 leagues in basketball, women's basketball, and it's up for debate. There is no debate about the best league in baseball. This is the league that the best players want to go to, and it's just kind of diffused amongst, well, almost all the programs.
And it's almost like, oh, wait, they're going to get much better next year when they have Texas and Oklahoma, too, so.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Especially Texas, it's a program that's showing up ready to compete. AT, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you. Good talking to you. Thank you very much.
We'll talk soon, fellas. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Aaron Torres from the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast joining us on Fridays here on Halftime. All right, we can open the McLarty Daniel Hotline if you want to get on. Any thoughts, comments on the baseball loss from yesterday and what you expect to see moving forward in the next 2 days.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
Matt, we've got a text from Hogwild on the McClarty Daniel Hotline that sends a link to the trailer for EA Sports College Football, and you can see teams that are about to walk through. I guess this must be just like the locker rooms that they play in. I can see who are the teams that they've got coming out. Well, you see the blue turf. There's Howard's Rock. There's Notre Dame hitting the play like a champion today sign. The Eagles of Boston College rubbing the eagle head. The Florida Gators rubbing a gator head. LSU coming out of the locker room. It looks realistic. What was it that you guys, was there something you ran out underneath at Arkansas or something you had to hit or touch? Because everybody on this video had to do that.
Like play like a champion or something. Yeah, there was, my freshman, it was going through so many changes up there during my time as far as every year something was changing. And even when you go back, everything's changed. It's kind of, we definitely all had something you went through, but I can't. Nothing like traditionary like that. No, it's like, let's just go get it, you know.
There's the sign that Arkansas baseball players walk underneath when they're going out to the tunnel that gets them to the field, and it says, "Work for it, plan for it, earn it, Omaha." And that was in the old clubhouse when the dugout was third base, and now it's in the new clubhouse at first base. So that's one of the traditions that they kept. I don't know if they slap it, but I would. If I walked underneath that every game, I'd slap it.
It would be like, I think more personal traditions are like a little stitious, not all the way superstitious, just a little. Like, like if you were a baseball pitcher and you were going out there, you always jump over the dirt. You know, you just kind of like wherever you go, you kind of have your way. Like if you tie your left shoe before you tie your right, whatever little things you have, you know.
Whatever you need to feel like you're ready to go compete.
That's right.
Whatever you need. I'm not going to criticize
half of it's psychological at that point. Let's you feel good. You've already put the work in. That's the thing. You know, you've been working all summer, all spring, all off season, all week, studying, doing everything you can. That's what Coach Nutt was really, hey, you've already put the work in. Don't worry. Let's go in and let's go fly. Go fly around the field and make plays.
I think Turk Wendell was probably the most superstitious player that I can remember. One in the 90s, pitched for the Cubs. Did you ever read about or see Turk Wendell? First of all, I think he had the shark tooth necklace, which made him a little different. He would chew licorice during the game, and then he would brush his teeth every inning after he'd get off the mound because of the licorice. He also, he would leap. He didn't just step over the first base line. He leapt over it. I mean, with a lot of show, a lot to look at. And I think the other thing was he never let the umpire throw the ball back to him. Like when he'd throw a ball out or foul balls out of play, he would make the umpire roll the ball to him. He's a little bit of a different guy.
He's a good little pitcher bit of a too. Different cat, yeah.
Let's take a phone call from another different cat. Brian in Ozark is here with us on the McClarty Daniel Hotline. Good morning, Brian. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Just hanging out.
I got to say one thing.
Yeah,
I got to say one thing. Other than hating OU, you got to hate A&M worse.
Do Texas fans really hate A&M, or are they just kind of like, all right, whatever, I guess we'll go play in that league now?
I mean, we hate A&M probably more than y'all hate Texas. I mean, if that answers your question, yes, we hate Texas A&M. Okay. So, watching that game last night, I mean, I get it was a pitcher's duel, and I think the kid from A&M was equal to what Hagan Smith pitched, in my opinion. He was equally as good, and I guess that's why Hagan Smith is ranked 5 and that other kid's ranked 6. But that was a horrible way to end that game, watching that. And you know, what was the next to the last reliever? What was his name, the blonde-headed kid with glasses?
Jake Faraday, the tall right-hander.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Faraday was doing pretty well, and he was throwing a lot of strikes, and, you know, I don't understand Dave Van Horn's thinking on that. That, you know, you load the bases and you pull that kid and you bring in, you know, that fifth-year senior, and he kind of pitched like Stevie Wonder, you know. That kid was horrible, and he, you know, threw four balls to end the game that way. And I mean, you think Dave Van Horn has any regrets in doing that? I just kind of hang up and see what you think.
Well, I mean, we're looking at it from the postscript in which we have the hindsight of this. And, you know, just because a decision didn't work out doesn't mean it was the wrong decision. For one, it wasn't Faraday that he pulled to load the bases. The reason he pulled Faraday was because he wanted Braden Montgomery to bat right-handed. The numbers, the splits for Montgomery, who's the switch-hitting right fielder, are heavy. Heavy, heavy, heavy. He is much better as a left-handed hitter. And it worked out. That worked out brilliantly. That was an amazing choice to go to Parker Coyle, who's not a power pitcher, and Coyle struck him out on three pitches. And I think a lot of that had to do with he's just not as good of a hitter hitting right-handed. That was the right choice. You know, bringing McIntyre out to face Burton, I think, was all about trying to match a right-hander up against a right-hander, and also a pitcher who's thrown a lot of strikes in his career. Nobody's planning on him going out and walking the guy and missing with four in a row. It's just, I hate to put it in these terms, but that's baseball. That was just baseball. I thought Dave pushed the right buttons to get to that point. Just that decision didn't work out. I don't think it was the wrong decision either. And I was really impressed. Look, Hagen Smith was great yesterday. I was really impressed with Prager, their left-hander. That's a guy who shows you how to pitch. Now, like, Hagen blows guys away, but he pitches too. Prager was throwing this 88, 89-mile-an-hour fastball with a changeup that was at the exact same arm angle, out-arm action, and they had no idea. Even if they were sitting on it, it still didn't look like they had much of an idea it was coming. That's how good that pitch was.
I heard Brian say he was a Razorback fan. He doesn't like A&M.
I think he likes Arkansas baseball.
Okay, he put it in order though that he was rooting for Arkansas over A&M. So that was good. He's coming back over.
He picks and chooses who he calls we.
Let's take the royal we.
That's the very royal we. Phone call from Jay and Rogers. Then we'll hit the break. Hey Jay, what's going on?
Not much, fellas. Just got done doing a little bass fishing this morning and was listening to the show here, and I fell asleep. I got some allergies going on. I took some Benadryl last night and fell asleep. The ball game was tied 0-0, and I've been trying to catch up on what happened. It sounds like somehow A&M got the bases loaded, and then did what happened? Did we walk in the winning run?
Jay, it was something you wouldn't expect after nobody walked in the first 10 innings. A walk, a single, an intentional walk, and a walk. Yeah, that's how it went. That's how it went down.
1-0.
It was a disappointing way to end a game. But the half inning before, the A&M left fielder makes a leaping catch at the fence to rob what would have been a go-ahead double or maybe a home run from Hudson White. You know, the Hogs left runners at first and third in the 10th inning. They had their chances to score. It wasn't just about the bases-loaded walk.
Got one more quick question, and I'm going to just listen. So I know our starting pitching has been struggling, to say the least, here lately, the past few weeks. I heard yesterday that Van Horn's going to switch up the starting rotation maybe this weekend, so... do you know who's starting tonight, and what's your prognosis for the game?
Yeah. Thanks for the phone call, Jay. Today it is going to be Gage Wood. You know, the thing is, I just wonder what is it that they're hoping for from Gage today in terms of innings? You know, they'll say, well, we'll let him go as long as he can. I don't think he's gone any longer than four innings in his career. I think 3 to 4 innings would work well. It's just you're going to need a pitcher like a Cody Frank, Cooper Dossett, maybe Dylan Carter to get out there and give you a couple of innings just because they used so many relievers yesterday, 6 of them. I assume Fouch, I don't know if Fouch could pitch on one day after. He only faced 3 batters. Gackle won't throw until, I think, tomorrow. Hewlett's good to go. I'd say Faraday's good to go. Coyle's good to go, but they're all pitching without a day of rest, so... And after that, I don't know who he'll throw tomorrow. I think today will determine that. I just know it won't be Brady Tigert. He's not on the travel roster. He's with the team. He's traveling. He's just not available to pitch this week. Dave told me they're just going to give him a week. They're going to give him a week. He'll pitch in Hoover next week. So just they're letting him rest like you said they would. Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Joined right now by James Teague, a member of the Teague Law Firm and former Arkansas pitcher. James, we've seen 2-1-0 games now this year. One win, one loss. Yesterday was a long day and a disappointing loss, but you do live to fight at least another couple days to try to win a division.
Yeah, Phil, I will admit I fell asleep. I did not stay up. I tried, but I didn't make it, so I saw the score this morning. It's pretty tough, especially with Kentucky winning and some other teams winning. But we got another chance to win two today and see what happens.
See, that's the sound of an exhausted parent who has a full-time job that's probably more than just a full-time job, you know, as a litigation lawyer. And so, you wouldn't have been the only fan who fell asleep yesterday, even those who are as interested in the outcome as you are. I know what that feels like.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, you fall asleep, you don't even realize it until you wake up, and you're like, okay, if that happens, you know I'm real tired.
Yeah. Well, you know, what do you think? You got a change in the rotation now for this weekend. It's the first weekend with a legitimate change, because the only other time that there'd been a change in the rotation was because of the injured ankle by Mason Molina 2 weeks ago. And I still think Molina may start tomorrow because they got a TBA. But what'd you think when you heard that they've changed the rotation up?
Well, I mean, I wasn't totally surprised. I think, you know, we had a little bit of struggles, you know, last couple of weeks. And so, you know, I'm not saying it's totally shocking, but at the same time, you know, I think coming down the stretch, give some guys a little bit of rest, give some other guys the opportunity to, you know, see what they've got as a starter and go from there. If it sticks, great. If it doesn't, then, you know, go back to maybe what we were doing.
You know, Gage Wood has that starter's repertoire. He's got, I think, four pitches that he can throw for strikes and command, and they're all good pitches. It's just, he's only made one start. I think the longest he's gone is four innings. That's something you can work with. But what can you hope for in a game like this from a guy who's never gone more than four innings? Is that enough today?
I think you'd like to see him go five. I think if he can go five and minimize it to one or two runs, I would consider that a success. You know, he's done well in some extended relief, and so you can see that, you know, he's shown, you know, at least as of recently, some consistency out of that long relief role. And so I think the belief is he can transfer that over into a starter. Maybe the warm-up's a little different, maybe the stress is a little different of knowing you're starting, but you know, he's got the stuff in the repertoire. He's really, I think, dialed it in these last couple outings, and so I don't see any reason why he can't be successful today.
When you're starting instead of relieving, usually you'll rely on a third pitch or a fourth pitch. That's why we talk about the starter's repertoire instead of a pitcher that maybe throws, you know, just two pitches and might have a third that he's working on that he might break out every once in a while. I just wonder, you got to find what works the first time through the batting order and then think about changing it once you get to the second time through the batting order. And I guess it's not like that's a challenge for Gage. It's just that's one of the things that's different from the way he had to pitch previously to what he's got to do now.
Yeah, I think that's the distinction for him. If he can come out early and force contact and not go into long at bats with every guy, number one, he's going to keep his pitch count down, but also he's not going to give guys a lot of looks at his repertoire, to where if he can work through the first time through pretty quickly, you know, he's got a good chance now to maybe mix it up the second time, and then by the time he gets close to the third time, maybe he's at that four or five inning mark and we can switch it up from there. So I think low pitch count, forcing contact, going at guys is going to be really important for him to give us the depth that we need.
What's your thought on the importance level of this series in relation to, you know, the full season and what is coming up shortly? You know, I talked with Dave in the pregame yesterday about, you know, this team has been good at just focusing on what's ahead of them. And we do all the talking about, you know, where are they going to end up in the seeding? And, you know, what about this super regional? Or what do you think about the conference tournament and all of that? And I just don't think they worry about all of it that much. So to them, this game is the only thing that matters right now. But in the grand scheme of it, when you see the last three national champions really haven't played their best going into Hoover or even very good in Hoover, you just wonder about the importance level of these games compared to what's coming up in the next month.
Yeah, I mean, I think big picture, you want to win the SEC. You want to be the lowest seed possible. You want to get an ideal super regional. But, you know, looking out a little bit, you know, maybe you drop two and maybe you get a different super regional matchup. And then maybe that matchup is better than if you would have won. And so I think there's so many variables. There's so many ways it could shape up. The guys just got to go out there and play. They got to think mentally, what do I need to do to be playing at my best at the end of the year? And if I can do that, then wherever we get matched or whatever the seating is, that just is what it is. So I don't think the guys are super worried about that.
You know, one of my least favorite things about yesterday's game was that when it ended, I had to look at the stupid bubbles flying all over the place. Like, they had no reason to get the bubble machines going until the one run of the game scores, and then they go all over the place. I think they've gone a little bit not overboard, but they've expanded all of the bubbles since I think you would have pitched here, I guess, in 2015, James, because now they rent out bubble machines to fans when they come in. So it's literally all over the place. But that's just like, you never wanted to see the bubbles when you're pitching here.
Yeah, it's probably like how people feel when they see the bases loaded caps. They're like, you know, what is this stupid mission that these idiotic fans are doing? But everyone's kind of got their thing. So, I mean, if you're at home and you're blowing bubbles, you're loving it. If you're away and you see them, obviously, you feel a little differently.
Man, I just like listening to the bird chirping there on your shoulder, James. What course you at today?
So I'm over here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I'm at Hillcrest Country Club. It's where I grew up playing with a good buddy from high school. So I'm getting out of the rat race for a little bit. I got a day off. Had a calendar at about 2 months in advance, but that's usually how it goes to find some time away from the office.
Been a pretty interesting day in the golf world, hasn't it?
Yeah. I woke up this morning to the group messages were blowing up saying, you know, he's going to prison. He's in jail. What's going on? So I had to do some digging. I had a little bit of an interesting opinion on it just because I was able to kind of actually see the charges, see the police report, and think, wow, you know, if he's actually charged with a C felony, then he's got some serious exposure on his hands in terms of legitimate jail time. But I don't think he's going to see any of that. They'll work it out.
I mean, it comes across like it's a big misunderstanding more than anything. But I think to a lot of us, we would think, you know, sometimes misunderstandings can lead to somebody, you know, being thrown in jail. And you can is this the kind of thing that can just go away? Because there was an officer that was dragged a little bit. He had to go to the hospital. So, I mean, there is that.
Well, the positive thing, I think, is an important legal distinction here is whatever he is arrested for is not necessarily what he is charged with. And that's kind of some nuance, legally speaking. So, yeah, I mean, there's a C felony that they technically arrested him for and booked him for, but prosecutors are going to have the discretion to charge him with that. And if they've got any sense in their brain, I don't think they're going to do that. So I see him getting a big-wig criminal defense attorney, them working it out, and this being resolved pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, they've let him. He's on the course. He birdied his first hole back out there. You know, that should help out a little bit.
Yeah, I guarantee if that's me, I'm going double-double off the first two. So that he's got some nerve to step up there and birdie the first one.
That's the thing that I just found so amazing about this. Yeah, the arrest in and of itself is just a wild story, but like, if I was put in jail, even if it was for a misunderstanding, I might have a little trouble hosting the radio show later on in the day. I might have some trouble putting two words together. Apparently, it just turned him into, well, nothing changed about him whatsoever, even though he spent, less than an hour in the clink.
Yeah, I like to think maybe he's just so sleep deprived from being a new father that he's just a little bit of in a haze, and it'll all blow over. He doesn't know really where he's at.
James, you have memories of pitching here at A&M? I remember a series that was compacted into 2 days in 2015, and they were number one in the country, and I felt like that was the series that really started catapulting your 2015 College World Series team on the trajectory that they ended up, you know, going to Omaha. I feel like it started here.
Oh, absolutely. I remember I had a really good outing out of the pen there. I had a 3-2 count against some 6'5", big tatted up guy. It was 3-2, winning run was, or tying run was on third. And it was, all right, here's a fastball as hard as you can throw it. What happens, happens. And they had good sync. He swung over it. And then from there, we had a big celebration after the rain delay. And I think morale was high. You know, it was, we kind of struggled up to that point. And, you know, small things like that can turn a whole season around, can get guys going. I think offensively or defensively, we're going to be in the same situation. We just need to find that spark to get the offense and the pitching going to where, find a way for those things to sync up. Because if they do, you know, we got to, that could be a deadly combination with the talent that we have between the two sides.
It does seem, though, and look, that Arkansas is not the only team that struggled to score against the two pitchers that A&M threw yesterday in Prager and Ashenbeck. And they, it's not like they got shut down yesterday. It was just a couple of little things, you know. I mean, Aloy not hitting into a double play in the sixth inning with two base runners. You know, in the 11th inning, there was nothing they could have done about the catch that the kid made against the fence in left field. It was just a great catch. If he doesn't catch it, then a run scores and things might be a little bit different. Making contact with runners first and third in the 10th inning and, you know, laying off a changeup. It just, I don't know what it was about yesterday, but that has been a going thing. And I know last weekend they hit well at home. Just on the road, you know, they haven't really scored very much.
Yeah, I think, you know, timely hitting is a weird thing because sometimes, you know, on paper you get the timely hits, but it's a bloop, it's an infield single, it's a ball that maybe should have made a play. And sometimes, like yesterday, you hit the ball hard or it's just right at guys or it just doesn't happen. I think there's those games, for whatever reason, the way it just shapes out, it just doesn't happen. I mean, but I think over the course of a season, over the course of a regional, you hit the ball hard and you have good at-bats, you know, it's not always going to shape up that way.
Last thing, watching Hagen yesterday, this is I think yesterday was as good as he's been all year, and that includes the Oregon State game. It's just not, I don't think they wanted to throw him too much longer because he's on one day short rest. I wonder once you get to the postseason, and so much of it has to do with who the opponent is. They haven't, you know, I don't want to use the term like ridden him hard because that's got a negative connotation. I think that the coaching staff has been properly cautious with Hagen Smith because of, you know, what's coming up in the future for him, which should be a top 10, top 5 overall pick. But in June, in the postseason, you know, if he's cruising and he doesn't have too many pitches, like he can go out and throw 120, 125, I think he'd be okay. I think there's a chance we could see Hagen Smith potentially complete a game in the postseason if the chance is there.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they'll stretch him a little further. I think one thing that kind of gets a little bit lost is it's great to strike everybody out, but when you do that, your pitch count's going to be a little higher than the guys who pitch to contact, maybe the sinker ball guy. So inevitably, when he's stacking up double-digit strikeouts, his pitch count is rising. And he loved the strikeout, but it's a double-edged sword with the pitch count. I think they push him a little harder, but I think Dave is disciplined enough not to go too far. Now, if we get real late into the postseason and we got a chance to win the Super, you know, we get to Omaha, you know, hopefully we get there and we got a chance to do something there. Maybe he'll go another 10 or 15. But, you know, Dave has remained pretty disciplined on pitch count, even in those situations. So I wouldn't be surprised if I'm stretched too far.
James, hit him straight, hit him narrow, hit him short when you want to hit him short. I hope the round goes very well, and we'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
Hey, I'm in the sunshine. We're out here playing, so I'm not going to get too frustrated. My old self would be out here taking it too serious, competing. You know, but I gotta have some off days too mentally, so I'm just out here having a good time, but I appreciate it.
You got it. James Teague from the Teague Law Firm, former Razorback pitcher.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Neil Atkinson is with us here from BetSarazen, Arkansas's favorite sports betting app. Working on your Apple iPhone, your Google Android, and any web browser, BetSarazen.com. Neil, been a while. How you been and how are you doing?
Doing great. Nothing better than being on the golden hour on a Friday afternoon with Phil and Matt and on another baseball weekend. Kind of sad it's the last weekend of the regular series for NCAA baseball, but hey, that just means the SEC tournament, the College World Series are right here upon us. And it's going to be an exciting couple of weeks ahead, and a lot of anticipation and a lot of high hopes and expectations coming up. So it's going to be fun to follow.
Absolutely. You know, and it's also the second day of the PGA tournament, and you guys have on Bet Sarazen on the featured events. Right now, you've got you got bets on the early group, which includes Scottie Scheffler on the seventh hole and on the eighth hole. And man, I would think, Neil, that those already would have been popular bets, but maybe even more so after the last few hours.
Yeah, what a surreal incident this morning. You know, it started with a tragic incident. You know, with a pedestrian involved. And you know how, if you've ever been on a scene, I was in law enforcement way, way long ago. And anytime you're in a high traffic scene involving something like that, and it can be confusing. And it's just unfortunate that that situation happened. And it looks like it was a miscommunication. And hopefully that will settle that. But looking at it from a betting perspective, you know, golf is said to be one of the most mental games out there. And it makes you wonder on how that would affect. And either it will make you fall apart or make you play any better because you're hyper focused, and that's just interesting to follow that one. And there's a lot riding on that one with him being the top golfer in the world, and there's a lot of prop bets about him placing in the top 5 and top 10 of all the majors and things of that nature. And with this being a major, you know, one of the big 4, it just shows you how anything can happen in sports betting. And even events off the field can the field of play can affect some things, and in a mental game like golf can. But hopefully this will all wash out. We can put past this and move on from that. But like I said, it's just surreal what can happen in sports today. And here's just another example.
Well, maybe it can just lead to a new sort of a parlay. You know, golf champion gets arrested in the morning and then goes on to have a certain, you know, shot under par. Maybe that's something we could work with. Although I have a sense I don't think casinos will be putting props as to whether or not somebody gets arrested or not. Softball regionals are starting today. And I know, you know, we got SEC baseball tournament next week and the baseball postseason. We got softball postseason it's already started in some of the regionals today.
Yeah, and well, we're especially proud because we are covering the Fayetteville regional for obvious reasons. And if there's specific interest in another regional, we can put that up also. Just DM us on Twitter, and we see what we can do. Nobody puts out data lines for softball, so all of that content is created here in-house. So it's just important to our bettors that we do offer that coverage for those that want to bet that, because there's a lot of interest both in Arkansas baseball and softball right now. And if we're going to be an Arkansas book, well, to me, I just have to cover it. And it's fun doing so, too, because, you know, the more engagement that we have with the fans, the better, the more volume we do on the site. We don't necessarily always win more money when we take more bets, but in general, the more bets that we take, is very, very good for the bet, and that fan engagement drives that. And I was in New York last week, and that's kind of why I had to miss the call, but it was a lot of fun being up there, and it was incredible the recognition that we got for what we've accomplished with Bet Sarazen, and then the recognition of, hey, you're going to have fun mitigating the Arkansas Razorback in basketball next year with Calipari. So we were a topic of discussion both on the industry and both on the sports side, especially with basketball. And it was a lot of fun being the center of attention there for a little bit while I was in New York.
Well, now speaking of that conference, and I know this is something that we brought up, I think, a month ago because of the law passed in Ohio that banned prop bets on college athletes. And the NCAA is trying to influence other state governments to do the same thing. That had to have been a topic at your conference in New York City, too. Had to have been.
Oh, it was the topic up there. And several of the sessions involving integrity and what's next, the NCAA had a presence there and spoke. And also I met with the vice president of, they used to be called U.S. Integrity. They just merged and added so many more features with helping sportsbook do the integrity. They're called IC360 now. And I met with their vice president, and he was especially proud that it looks like Arkansas is still going to allow player props, because it is our position that if you keep it in daylight, sunlight is the best disinfectant, and you are able to monitor it, we can have that preventative and use the technology that we have and give the players the resources if they're ever in the education, to where if they are ever contacted inappropriate on social media by other means, there is a number they can call and report, and we will always take it seriously, both on the books perspective, from the league perspective, and also from the integrity perspective with the regulators. So we still feel that we want to be the example in here in Arkansas on how you can allow college props, and because people are not going to stop betting them. If they don't bet them on the legal site, they're going to go to the illegal site, and then you lose all control and all transparency, and it's just going to be real hard to put that cat back in the bag. So we've done a very fine job with it in Arkansas. We're continuing to do that, and we're going to leverage the technology at our disposal to dial that in and make it even better, so that both the sports bettor can have confidence in the integrity of the games that they're putting their hard-earned money on, and the players can go out there and be players and worry about their grades and their NIL deals and their pro careers, instead of somebody hassling them over a sports bet, because sports betting is not going away.
Well, and maybe this is a naive question, but if those resources are being made available to college athletes, I just assume that they're also made available to professional athletes. But why is it okay to do prop bets with professional athletes and not college athletes?
To me, that doesn't make sense. Now, there is a thing that, you know, you are dealing with a younger person. They are just entering college. You know, they're still trying to get their college degrees. Not every college athlete is going to move into a pro career, as we well know. So there is an ethical thing to protect those younger players and to try to shield them from that, because, you know, the majority of those players just want to play ball and get their degree. You know, it's just a small fraction of college athletes that actually make it to the pro level. They know what they signed up for. And now with the introduction of NIL and the transfer portal, there's that much more pressures on the college athletes to perform that are going that route. So we're going to have to find the middle ground. And like I said, the same technology that we monitor the pros and the pro props is working. And you can see that by the stories. You used to not see very many stories about, you know, things of that nature, about, you know, a player not performing or taking themselves out of the game when there's big bets on them on the under. Now that we have the technology and we monitor it, if somebody is doing something, we are going to catch.
Neil, I got a question on a McLarty Daniel hotline from Aaron in Mountainburg. He wanted to know why he can bet strikeout props on some games and not on others.
To be honest with you, it depends on the feed. We subscribe to data feeds, and it's either that they don't have enough data to spread it, or the odds that we would put on it would not be advantageous for the bettor to do it. So it probably has something to do with that. I'd have to get a little bit more specific on the instances on that, but if there is a strikeout prop and we can't put a good line on it to where it's, you know, bettable. You know, that's why we use the run line in baseball to make a baseball game bettable, because, you know, as you know, if you know, especially like college is an example, I mean, there's many a times where if the midweek games where you have a major conference playing a small school, you know, if the money line's minus 2,000, that means you got to put $2,000 to win 100. So that's why we use the run line to make a more equitable handicap bettable line, that and in hockey. So it probably has something to do with that.
What's going on that's new right now on the BetSarazen app or on BetSarazen.com? Anything that's been released or new that's coming up soon?
Yeah, we've recently added flash bets to NHL hockey midway through the playoffs. like to have gotten a little bit sooner, but technology is complicated. It may be listed as play-by-play instead of flashback, but our next upgrade, we'll name it properly. We were just trying to get it out there. And the other thing, one of the most popular things on BetSaracen are our Arkansas specials, where we do a lot of player props. Well, if you look under the pro markets now, especially the NBA and the NHL, you're going to see a lot of pre-built same-game parlay options out there. It's the same concept as the Arkansas specials, but for the pros. And it looks like the pros kind of took a page out of our book and are composing those real similar to the way we did. So we like to think that we're kind of the leader in that area about being able to offer those pre-built same-game parlays, since the players really gravitate to it. So download the app and check those out. They're a lot of fun. You don't even have to register. If you just download the app and look at it online, you can see all of these specials without that. But I'm pretty sure after you see what we're offering, there's going to be something to pique your interest, and you'll hit that registration button, and you can be betting on your favorite team or sport pretty quickly.
Neil, I know there was a message you wanted to deliver to your clients about passwords. So I want to give you that opportunity to do it, and then we'll wrap the segment up.
Yep. You know, nowadays, you know, I am, first of all, I'm going to tell you I'm guilty. Reusing passwords on multiple sites. But I just want to caution our listeners is if you're using the same password for your sports betting site where you're betting and putting your hard-earned money, you are opening yourself up to the hackers that like to, and data breaches that we all read about, AT&T, some of my competitors, national competitors, I'm not going to be mean to name them, but you know who they are, the big sports books and the big casinos. And like even AT&T, I just got a letter in the mail that they had a major data breach. If you are on sites that you reside your money and you reuse that password and one of those other companies lose your data and it goes out there on the dark web, you are setting yourself up for your account to be compromised. Now, luckily, we have software that can detect all of that, but we've noticed an uptick, not just on BetSaracen, but across the industry of these credential stuffing attacks. So anything that has to do with your money, try to use these password generators that are unique to each individual site, and don't reuse those passwords, because you're setting yourself up to waking up to some unpleasantness, and we do what we can to help you recover if you do that. But you can prevent that right off the bat by not reusing those passwords.
Neil, it's good to talk to you again. We'll look forward to having you on again next week. Thank you for your time, and hope all is well.
Oh, everything's going great, and everybody bet with your head and not over it. Have a lot of fun, a lot of spring sports, a lot of going on. Check it out on BetSaracen, and we'd love to have you bet with
Neil Atkinson from BetSaracen, Arkansas's favorite sports betting app. Before we break, I want to get on the McLarty Daniel hotline. JW has been holding for a little bit. Hey, JW, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, I'm still recovering from late night basketball or baseball last night.
Yeah, you and me both.
That seemed to go on a long time. Anyhow, I got a question. I know people are concerned with golf and baseball right now, and with the new hire in basketball, too. But I'm curious if there's ever a chance that, and y'all probably have more insight into this than I do, if we could ever get Oklahoma State in the Southeast Conference. I would love to see them, because I think there's some natural rivals that go on. They're a similar school in a weird kind of way to, I think, compatible up there. They don't have the money power base that they do in Northwest Arkansas. But Garth Brooks is, you know, he's an alum from there. And so I'm just curious. You think we'll ever get them in a league? And the other one that comes in with them, I don't care. And probably the East, whatever. But I would love to see them come in. And I'll hang up and listen to what y'all had to say.
Okay. Thanks, JW. I mean, I think I've tried to learn over the last few years that something you think will never happen in college sports could actually happen. But that would be one of the things I'd be really, really surprised about, just because if they were going to take Oklahoma State in the SEC, they'd have done it already. You know, they'd have opened up the door for them and OU and Texas and another school out of Texas, I would imagine. But I think Oklahoma State is, And I don't want to use the term stuck because I think they're pretty good as far as fitting into the Big 12. That league is in a position of strength, much stronger than the ACC. So, no, I don't think that Oklahoma State will be a member of the SEC. I don't think the SEC will go after him. I think Oklahoma State's in a pretty good position for themselves at the moment. But again, you know, things happen to change in college sports rather rapidly sometimes.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
Does the PBR World Finals have a championship on Sunday, professional bull riding? And there is a bull named Mus Bus that is competing in this. You guess you can watch on CBS Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. The Mus Bus for a bull. Bull in a china shop. That's actually not a bad comparison.
Man, I watched. There was one I saw the other day. You talk about having some head trauma, some CTE. I don't know. Getting on a bull, man, that's a, oof. I don't want any part of that.
I don't know if I want any part of it, too. I think I might be able to hold on a little better than you. I mean, I'm considerably more compact than you are, man.
Absolutely. I defer to you. I know that, man, some of them, they got their Cowboys hat on, but they got their life preserver vest that looks like a bulletproof vest. I'd be wearing a helmet. There was this one. I mean, it had to be last weekend, Phil. I saw going up to it, and the dude was not. I mean, he's just frozen on the ground. You know, like that bull hits you in the head. And, oof.
Carl from Fayetteville asked, "Is Mus Bus a miniature bull?"
It's a V4. It's a turbo though, so watch out.
It'll stop. It's a bull that stomps just a little bit, and a bull that's looking to get find a.
Don't
find
wear
a
black and white.
That's right. It's got the extra medium size saddle
instead of the clowns. It's three refs that come out there.
Oh, man. Today is Paul Skeens Day, Matt. Skeens and the Pirates. I'm telling you, look, however he pitches today, I'm sure he's going to be great. They got a 2-0 lead. He has struck out all six batters he's faced. He's pumping 100 miles an hour. That also means it's Livy Dunn Day at Wrigley Field, which is probably why more people are there. Daytime, Wrigley Field, the ghost of Harry Carey is probably stalking her, creeping her out, too.
Got to get me some frames like that. Those Harry Carey frames, he was... I think he had a keg of Old Style just right there, and it was just, he just...
Those TV-sized rims?
After his fourth keg, I mean, after his fourth beer, his fourth draw, in about the fifth inning, his shirt comes off, and it's let's go get it.
Man, I'm sure he would have definitely requested a sit-down interview with Livy Dunn during a game. There's no doubt Harry Carey would have requested
stretch, right?
That.
Yeah, they're singing Take Me Out.
You know, like, I think there was a point where Harry probably had beer in the booth with him. I mean, I think there was a point where probably a lot of writers and broadcasters had beer in the press box with him. Heck, when I worked for the Pirates as an intern in 96, they had kegs up in the press box, but they didn't open it up until the game was over. They had it for those guys to write with. I mean, that was part of the culture. But I also know that Harry was a brilliant marketer of himself. So he always had a cup that made it look like there's a beer there because that's what he wanted people to think. He wanted them to think that he was one of them, that he was just like them, drinking while watching a game, having a beer. You read Steve Stone's, and it's not an autobiography. It's just about Stone's, what did they do, about 10 or 11 years or so together on WGN? Stone wrote about it. I mean, there was water in that cup as often as there was. Now, there was beer sometimes, but there was water in that cup just as often. Because there's a certain portrayal that Carey wanted to have for himself. And I'll tell you what, I think he'd have crept out Livy Dunn in a really bad way. But, yeah, Skeens goes today. Second start for Skeens. It's his second major league start, and it's still a year, not even a year removed from the last game he pitched in the regular season in the SEC.
That's what I was going to bring up, too, with some of these other sports. I know we were talking about Caitlin Clark earlier. she just got done going to the Final Four. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of offseason. I mean, she just had the draft, and now she's...
That's going from college to the majors in a month.
That's, you know, so give her... It's going to happen. She's, you know, give her time. I'm on her side. She's going to be okay. It's just it's a little bit of a learning curve and everything. I mean, it's been happening quick.
See everybody later tonight, 6:30 for our Dugout Show, 7 o'clock first pitch, Arkansas and Texas A&M. Matt, you look pretty at the start of the show. You still look pretty at the end of the show. I don't know how you pull it off. And a very quiet woo for you, too. Stay tuned for Ruskin and Zach. Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast is downloadable very soon. And we'll be back with everybody on Monday for another award-winning edition of Halftime. For Matt Jones, for Colton, I'm Phil. Thanks for listening today. Now, get up, get out, and get better.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.